And our gospel this morning is from the 12th chapter of Luke. So Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. And blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." It's the gospel of our Lord. Oh, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was driving to church one morning, not too long ago, and I was listening to the radio. Happened to get a commentator that was in a very active conversation, and they were talking about what the driving force was behind the success of corporations and big businesses today. And this was really a conversation that, when you start narrowing it down, it was linked to the tremendous salaries and the benefit packages that certain CEOs are receiving. Well, the commentator identified three items that he felt were right at the heart of this larger-than-life world. And they were money, control, and power. Money, control, and power. Interesting triad that's being used to describe the path to success, isn't it? And it's a little bit scary, but you hear about it all the time, and actually it's something that filters down into our lives, into our very fabric, at a very early age. How can it not? I mean, when this is the very culture that we work in, and that we go to school in, and that we do all of our activities in, day after day, it'll sink in. Well, now, because, of course, of the significance of this trio of objectives, it should be of no surprise that this kind of thing has been studied. It's been poked and probed, and a number of people have looked at it, but also from a sociological and a spiritual perspective. And the findings really get kind of interesting. So just to put it in a very simple summary for you, just a nice one-liner, this is what these studies summarized. They said that the presence or the lack of power, money, and control in one's life is linked to unhappiness. I'll just say that one more time. The presence or the lack of power, money, and control in one's life is linked to unhappiness. Now, this may not sound too surprising, of course, but the manner in which this unhappiness and anxiety manifests itself, that's where it gets kind of interesting. First off, I think we would all agree, it should be nice to have some more control over our lives, wouldn't it, than what we have now? I mean, control over our journey, control over our destination, and certainly to have a little more money and power to help fortify the effort. Well, this world tells us that the more money and the more power and then the more control that you have, the happier you're going to be. But I can't agree with that. I mean, I think it's a badly messed up concept. And I think if you give it some clear thought, you might see where I'm coming from. Just think about this a little bit. You're no longer in control of the house that you build. If you want to build a house somewhere, someone's going to be looking at those plans. So you might have to make changes to your house. Or they may not let that house be built in the lot that you want at all. What you wear, how you wear it, or what you say in public. First Amendment, you know, it's a discussion that's going on right now, but it's pretty clear. It's got a limit. The people near the proposed diversion around Fargo, well, this was really evident a few years ago. They saw that their land was theirs only until it was needed for something else. And I'll tell you personally, I've tried to put a septic system into our lake home, and they don't care. They're going to put it wherever they want it. And trees are not a hardship, by the way. Trees that are 100, 150 years old, clear them out. Get rid of them. Because your septic tank isn't going where it would fit. It's going over here where all the trees are. It's just the way it is. And when one of your appliances quit working, you know, even a major appliance. I mean, I did this last year with a garage door opener. Just try and get a human on the other end of the phone. Every year, we have a little more control and money and power taken away from us. And after a while, it just all adds up. Yet the world still tells us that happiness lies in getting more. There's even been some interesting studies as to why some of the school board meetings and church meetings have become a little bit more aggressive. And it turns out, when you start interviewing people, they're finding that it's the last couple of places where they can finally exert some of their personal control and power. How's your control over your retirement going? Don't they keep telling us and promising us that things are going to turn around? Well, maybe not this year, though, right? Maybe next year, or the year after, maybe 10 years down the way. Got to think long term. And now our kids are coming out of college with $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 worth of debt, and the hope of what? To get a job that can't make enough money to pay that debt. It's an interesting scenario. Money, power, and control. We have a fear of having too little, getting it too late, all in a world where we also know that some people who have all this power and money and control are the ones that are right at the top of the unhappiness list. You know, there are times when you just have to let common sense rule. Just kind of sit back and kind of deep breath, you know. And often when Scripture makes the most sense, it's when it delivers the most common sense. It comes down to faith and promises. Faith and promises. It comes down to making some choices based on the information that we have. We are told over and over in a very common sense manner that true joy and true happiness, relief from anxiety, can be found only in Christ. Now, knowing what you know about this world, how it works, how it's changed, how it is committed to you, and whether this world or its leaders can be trusted to keep their promises that they have made to you, and then comparing that to what God promised you, where would you place your faith? I mean, truly, the talk of faith, it's a hard sell. It's a tough topic. God tells us that we don't control it. It's the Holy Spirit that controls it. But he does promise that. He says that's a promise. We're told that our faith in him will save us. That's a promise. We're told that our faith will bring us joy, peace, and eternal life. That is a promise. And along with that, we are given the antidote for anxiety. And it begins our scripture today. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your good Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know that song. Sell your possessions, give to charity, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you think that you're alone in your thoughts and just giving up everything and you want some clarity, now listen to what Peter says. kind of brings back the human part of this topic again. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? Well, you know, Peter's just scared to death that the disciples are going to be held to different standards than everyone else. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is God's good pleasure, God's intention, his plan, and his delight to give you the kingdom. So, if this is true, and you have no reason to believe otherwise, and that's because, unlike the world, God has never broken a promise, never broken a promise with you. Well, that means that then, as his disciples, you can indeed resist the seduction of wealth, not fall prey to constant anxiety about the worldly needs, share what you have with others, and wait expectantly, even eagerly, for the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus is offering, what he's offering is faith. A faith that frees one to be generous, a faith that enables one to leave anxiety behind, a faith that creates a confidence about the future, not as secured by humans, but as secured by God. And Jesus creates this faith by announcing a promise. Another promise. And all of you parents are going to understand this one, but it's written in the scripture as well. Like a parent loves her child and wants all good things for them, so also is it God's good pleasure to give God's children the kingdom. Promises. They're unique. We have lost what they mean. To God, they are unique. They're special. They create a shared expectation about the future. They bind together the giver and the receiver together. It's a promise that it creates a relationship and hope and faith. And none of these can be found in any part of the world that we live in. You know, in this world, for example, you are asked to place your faith, your life and faith, in a number of places. You know, for example, in the practice of medicine. The practice of medicine. God is not practicing here. And if God's creation was practicing, I'd still take that over anything that this world had to offer me. To have faith, real faith, is to become free. It's not about power or control or money. Our happiness comes down to faith and to promises. And to that extent, Jesus speaks to us, he speaks to us all, just offering us a little more common sense to help relieve the anxieties of this world, especially as they are today. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, anxiety is at the top of everyone's list. It becomes difficult to hold on to promises and all that you offer us when all we see on TV is the killing of innocent people. There's a great deal of anxiety, Lord, and we need you. We need you here, and we need you now. Help us to focus on what is truly important in our lives, and that is our relationship with you and our faith in you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.